As we do at this time of the month, first Tuesday of the month anyhow, we check in with CMHA, Canada Mental Health Association, for Waterloo Wellington, and we'll bring in our guest. Helen Fishburne is the Executive Director of CMHA Waterloo Wellington. Helen, thank you so much for joining me this hour. How are you today?
Good morning, Brendan. I am very well. How about you?
Not too bad. I had a happy Thanksgiving. Did you?
I did, and it was a lovely break just to have an extra day, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was fantastic to have that extra day. On Sunday, though, World Homelessness Day and World Mental Health Day happened once again on Sunday. And as it's mentioned in an article written by you guys, the two do correlate.
They absolutely do. I mean, when you think about housing and mental health, I mean, it's so incredibly linked, right? I mean, not only do people need a home, it's not just a roof over our heads, but it's also that safe, supportive place to live where, you know, you can feel grounded and centered and, you know, be surrounded by good things, which keeps us all mentally well. So it's so linked to our mental wellness.
Yeah, and CMHA, Waterloo Region anyway, does, or Waterloo Wellington, excuse me, they do offer supportive housing. So tell me a little bit about that.
We do. We actually have a number of housing programs, mostly on the Guelph Wellington side, historically, that we partner with Stonehenge Therapeutic Community to do mental health and addictions housing. And then we have some housing for folks who have transitional needs. For example, when they're coming out of hospital, they don't have anywhere to go. And we, you know, we provide some housing just so that they can get some stability and take some time to find an appropriate spot, which is very challenging. On the Waterloo Region side, many of our partners, including House of Friendship and Thresholds, and certainly the region of Waterloo, do some amazing mental health housing. So it's something that has been a very high priority, both in Guelph Wellington as well as in Waterloo Region, because there is a significant gap in housing for people with mental health and addiction issues here locally.
Is there a number on that gap?
Well, right now, literally as of this morning, we have 1,005 people waiting for long-term housing with people with mental health and addiction issues across Waterloo Wellington. And sadly, Brandon, they're waiting an average of 5 years for a vacancy.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a long time, and I guess we don't even know what they're doing in the meantime, for that matter.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there's certainly a lot of transitional housing available, but, you know, that's often 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. We also see people who are couch surfing, so they don't have a home, but they're relying on the kindness of family or friends or other folks just to have a, you know, a period of time for a really nice place to stay. We have people, of course, that are homeless. Have varying degrees of homelessness as well. As we come into the winter months, we're going to see that homelessness number go up, because there are lots of people that camp and that tent in the summer to address not being able to find a place. And sadly, Brendan, you know, we've seen this through the pandemic. The rate of homelessness has absolutely increased because the financial pressures created by the pandemic have really skyrocketed. And, you know, many people live paycheck to paycheck. So if you lose your job unexpectedly, things can come crashing down very quickly. And then you add a mental health and addiction issue on top of that. So it's a fragile time right now, definitely in our community.
What's the Ontario government doing to alleviate this issue?
Well, I will tell you that we had the throne speech last week, right? And the government really, you know, they certainly addressed mental health issues. They named it. They, you know, they certainly acknowledged that there has been a significant impact of the pandemic. They talked about the impact on the long-term care homes, on the homelessness population, on hospitals. But I will tell you, we were quite disappointed that there wasn't something specific in terms of the need to support community mental health and addiction sector as a priority. We did not hear that during the throne speech, and we did not hear anything specific being targeted, particularly for the homelessness and the housing needs, which, again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you don't have that basic requirement, it's very hard to rebuild the rest of your life. So that was missing, and we felt quite disappointed about that.
Do you think that'll be addressed within the next year or so?
Well, we're certainly hoping so. We have very strong advocacy, both at the provincial government level, both CMHA Ontario and Children's Mental Health Ontario. All of our associations across healthcare are really advocating for the needs of mental health and addictions because it's showing up everywhere. It's showing up in the ER rooms. It's showing up in family doctors' offices, of course, in our police 911 calls. It's been something that's really, really come to the forefront in our healthcare system, which we appreciate that support. I will also say that we are working really closely with our municipal governments, Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, and Guelph and Wellington County in particular. There has been tremendous support from our municipal partners because they also receive money for housing as well. And they've been very much on board and championing this issue. But there's just not enough money to go around. So we really need to continue to advocate. Waiting 5 years for a mental health and addiction supportive housing placement is absolutely ridiculous. We have to get these folks into some specialized housing with supports and really get their life stabilized and supported much faster than 5 years.
So ideally from the province, you'd like to see a little bit more money being filtered through the system, for the municipalities. And so the municipalities can kind of give back to CMHA or organizations like CMHA, Waterloo, Wellington, so they can help out with the housing? Or is it something that the province has to directly do themselves to basically say, okay, look, this is what we're doing and this is how much money we're putting towards this, as opposed to filtering it through the municipalities, as you mentioned, so that it could help you guys out as an organization?
I think it's both, to be honest. So the province is responsible for healthcare. So there is a healthcare component to housing, right? So the mental health and addictions providers need to support the housing. It's not as simple as finding a vacant apartment somewhere or, the housing has to come with supports. Otherwise, people can't sustain their housing because they're not well. So there's that piece of it, which the province is responsible for. And then on the municipal side, there is the housing stock and the support of that housing at the municipal level with all the bylaws and the rules and the regulations and all of those pieces. It's really a good partnership and needs to be a partnership. So it's both. And I will tell you, we continue to be really concerned about the amount of money that goes to mental health and addictions care. You know, our sector only receives about 5.8% of the entire almost $70 billion healthcare budget in Ontario. 5.8% for mental health and addictions needs. So that's part of the problem in this. We don't have enough of the overall healthcare budget that's going to mental health and addictions needs. Until that changes, we're not going to be able to address these needs in the community.
Why do you think that is, that the number is so low?
Historically, it's always been that, to be honest, and it's really just through the pandemic that we have felt, the pandemic has really been a great equalizer for us, and we have felt that shift and that focus much more. Mental health has always been in the stigma. It's been in the shadow of the healthcare system, and there continues to be a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding about it. You know, for example, you know, if you just try harder, you wouldn't have the severe anxiety and depression. We wouldn't tell someone with cancer to just try harder, right? Like cancer, mental health and addiction needs have treatment requirements. It's so important that that gets recognized. We're getting there, Brandon, but we also know that there's not enough money for everything that is required in our healthcare system. We have to share. We appreciate that, especially after the pandemic, which has really decimated our healthcare system. But until we prioritize this part of our healthcare system and really get that funding to where it needs to be, we're not going to be able to move the marker in the community. So we are going to rely on the government to do that while we're also aggressively fundraising on our community because we have some amazing corporate partners who understand and want to help, which is amazing for us locally.
So I got a few things to unpack there, but first what I want to address as well is has the government ever addressed this particular issue, whether it be a Liberal or a PC government?
Yes, absolutely. Housing has been on the radar, and especially in the last couple of years, we just don't have enough. It's it's definitely there and it's definitely on the radar.
Okay, and I guess when we were talking about, you know, how there's 1,005 people that are currently in line to get this particular service done, and you said it's about a 5-year wait. I'm curious, out of these people, out of these particular clients of yours anyhow, are there certain issues that are being targeted first, or are there, like, for example, is somebody who has addiction issues, maybe they're being targeted first, being triaged up the line to get the certain, I guess, services that need to be given to them, or maybe somebody with anxiety and depression, maybe a crippling anxiety and depression, maybe gets, triaged up the line, or is it just a matter of people kind of a first-come, first-serve sort of idea as to what's happening here?
Yeah, great question. So certainly within mental health and addictions, there's always a priority rating just because literally people are in crisis. And in many of those situations, Brandon, as I'm sure you can appreciate, it's a life and death issue. So there are people that are homeless. Their needs always come first. We have got to get folks with no homes into a home first and foremost. So we always work as a community to address those issues first and foremost. We also work to address the clinical issues that people have while they're waiting for housing. So there are many folks, for example, that can receive treatment, can receive care. We can continue to work to stabilize and support and treat the mental health and addictions issues while they're waiting to be offered a housing placement. Sometimes people are waiting in a housing situation that they have a house, but it just doesn't meet their needs, or it's not a good situation. As I mentioned, some people are couch surfing and they're floating around. So again, we need to work with those folks, but there's a lot that we can still offer those folks while they're waiting, and we do our very best to make that happen. But certainly the highest risk folks are always offered care first.
How many people within Waterloo Region can benefit from, I guess, the 1,005 people? I guess that may be the answer to my question. But, you know, as to who you are using your services at this time. So 1,005 people are still using your services, and that's the amount that could probably benefit from this housing program.
Absolutely. And, you know, likely there's a lot more people, right, that are out there that have not contacted us just because they know the wait for mental health and addiction housing is 5 years. So once you know that, many people get very discouraged and they think, what's the point? So they have to live in situations that aren't good for them, or they move to other communities. But certainly this is a provincial problem. It's a Canadian problem. Anywhere you go in Ontario, you're going to run into this issue. So that's the other challenge we have here. I will tell you, last year, we supported about 21,000 people through our Here 24/7 program. So that's always the front door to mental health and addictions across Waterloo and Wellington. And of those 21,000 people that we supported, 1,000 of them needed housing. So that will tell you that's a large number of people that are out there struggling with the mental health and addiction challenge that don't have a reasonable or appropriate housing with supports available. So that's a lot of people.
Helen, is CMHA Waterloo Wellington back at 100%, or are there still services that are not necessarily cut, but they're just not doing it because of everything that's happening with the pandemic?
So we are absolutely back 100%. Our offices have been open all the way through the pandemic. We had about a 40% level of our staffing in the office available for in-person care. And then we had about 60% of our staff available for virtual care. Since September of this year, that has switched, and we now have 70% of our staff back in offices physically, and we're only offering about 30% of our care virtually now. And all of that, again, is based on requirements and public health guidelines. And, of course, we have to follow the rules in our offices as well in terms of physical distancing and keeping everyone safe. So we're really, really happy to have a great majority of our staff back on site. We hope that as we progress through this pandemic to get even more back, but there's still lots of folks out there that want and appreciate that virtual care option as well. Although many of the folks we see are quite complicated and they need that face-to-face care because they're seeing psychiatry and nursing and social work, and they have a whole team of people supporting them. So we keep working at it. We know that we don't have enough care for mental health and addictions. There's over 3,800 people waiting for care across our region, across many providers, not just CMHA. So we're continuing to advocate for that kind of care as well. But we're doing everything we can with what we have available to us.
Yeah, because I remember when you guys first, I guess when the pandemic first came to be, a lot of services were cut from, not cut, but they were just reduced significantly when it came to the amount of care that you guys could provide as an organization. And I remember there's like support groups and such that were not meeting anymore because the pandemic and, you know, the restrictions of, you know, being 6 feet apart, and that necessarily wasn't possible when it comes to support groups. So now what you're saying is that, you know, support groups, people who need, talking to about certain, about their issues or about their struggles and such, that's all back to 100%.
It is, yeah. I mean, we still, we do a lot of our groups still virtually through a very secure network. Because, again, we're not able to bring in, for example, 12 people into a group room, right? Because you still have to maintain that physical distancing. And we just don't literally have the space to be able to accommodate that many groups with that many people where you need that physical space. But those groups are being offered virtually. The rest of our care, in terms of if you're just coming in to meet with our psychiatrist or our nurse or one of our workers, you can always come in face-to-face. We do have some people that prefer virtual care. They're still feeling quite anxious about the pandemic. You know, COVID has really changed the baseline of how people feel. And we're seeing that surge of mental health, anxiety, and depression. So there are people that still prefer that virtual care opportunity, which, of course, we offer. But we know that people want to come back and see us in person as well, which we are facilitating. So the more our vaccination rates increase in the community, Brendan, the more we'll be able to completely return as we reach that herd immunity level, which we're really looking forward to.
And that's just more of like a time will tell type deal, correct?
You got it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's something
that... And our communities are doing amazing. Both across Waterloo region and Guelph-Wellington, our vaccination rates are higher than the provincial average. We're getting that amazing engagement. We just need to keep pushing it higher and higher so that we can all come back in person fully, including groups, to be able to maximize that level of care.
All right. Well, it's something that I'm sure a lot of people look forward to in terms of getting that care and back to 100% anyhow. And it's good to see that the services are back to 100% altogether. I mean, that's a good news story. Helen, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next month. Thanks so much for your support.
Take care. That is Helen Fishburne, the Executive Director of the CMHA Waterloo-Wellington, Canada Mental Health Association, Waterloo-Wellington, or CMHAWW.